Welcome back, everyone, to the Prepared Mindset Podcast. I'm your host, Austin, and we are officially, I guess I was going to say 1 week in arrears of SHOT Show, but it ended on a Friday and this drops on a Wednesday, so carry the two. We're like 5 days out. We're 5 days past the end of SHOT Show. I mean, we're a week out from where I ended SHOT Show because I left Vegas on Thursday morning, so I only attended the first 2 days. And I know it's something that for as many of us are, that are listening to this that have attended SHOT Show, there's a bunch who have not, who want to. I got comments and questions from people on social media. It's like, hey, how do I go? How can I go? And to be clear, more often than not, the answer is you can't. I'm not saying that to be a tool. I'm just telling you that it's a B2B trade show. And B2B meaning business to business. It's not a business to consumer or a B2C event. There's no retail sales there. It's very much supposed to be a business event to have meetings, to network, and things like that. And that's the way they treat it. So you have to either be in the media space. You have to have like a pretty high follower count on certain platforms. You have to have a pretty high view count on certain platforms or some combination thereof, or something with like, you know, between podcasts or Instagram, YouTube's, things like that, or be a writer. And additionally, then you can also attend if you work for like a gun shop, right? Or if you're a manufacturer, a retailer, things like that. But it costs you quite a bit of money, honestly, to get in. I think I had a buddy that went as a manufacturer this year. He's gone as different things in the past, but his designation changed, and it was like $900 is what he said. Now, I don't know if that's a true number or if that's just him being him, but it can get quite expensive is what I'm saying. That's by design. It's just to keep people out that shouldn't be there, keep people from buying excess passes and stuff. And we'll probably talk about some of that stuff as we dive into the discussion. When I say we, I am joined. This hasn't happened in a while, but I'm just sitting down for this discussion with my wife, Lexi, and some of you guys know her, right?
Hey guys.
Yeah, and she was on the trip. You loved it, right? It was great.
It was so much fun.
Yeah. I mean, mostly for me, I think. It wasn't bad though. I wouldn't say it was bad.
No, I had a good time.
Yeah, I mean, would you say it was what you expected when we set out on this?
I don't think there was any way as a first-time goer to actually set expectations for the show.
Yeah.
Everything I thought I knew, everything I was told, wholly undersold what this event is.
Yeah.
You just can't quite wrap your head around how massive the scale is until you're in it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So we'll get into it. We're gonna dive into it. There's a lot. Like, we had experiences before the show started. Obviously, the show itself. Things we did after hours or didn't do after hours, right? We're going to get into all of it. We actually, leading up to it, we had some stuff going on here on the home front, which was just, you know, there's a whole lot to tell. So we're going to dive into everything about the show. But before I do that, I have to say thank you to our presenting sponsor for this week's episode. And that is the crew over at Custom Night Vision. You guys, I actually got to meet up with the whole Custom Night Vision team, with Ben, with Kevin, and Trevor. Tremendous people. Met all of them at SHOT Show for the very first time in person. And if you guys want to check out everything that Custom Night Vision has going on, you can head over to their website, which is customnightvision.com. And if you attended SHOT Show and you're looking to get your hands on some of the new housings that were available from places like Nocturne Industries, of course, Low Light Innovations, our friends, you know, Claude and the whole team over there, head on over to, again, customnightvision.com and check out everything they have going on, everything they have available and in stock for you. On the homepage, there's two big blue buttons. You can elect to either build a monocular device, you can elect to build a binocular device, and you can pick from the housing on down through the type of lenses and optics you want to the intensifier tubes that you want and desire. And you can even bundle that with options and add-ons like helmets, mounts, lasers, flashlights, optics, and a whole heck of a lot more. They even have a separate tool to build that all out with everything completed since it was so popular, you guys. Again, it's customnightvision.com. Head over there. They're your one-stop shop for all things night vision related. So if you already have a unit or perhaps you inherited one from a friend, family member, you got a smoking deal, right, on TaxSwap, you can head to the Custom Night Vision website. You can pick up a Team Wendy helmet. They have incredible prices on those. with the discount code for like 28% off, something ridiculous, listed in the item description. They are a huge retailer for Team Wendy. Additionally, they have mounts from places like Wilcox. They got the Alpha mount from Nocturne Industries that I just got to play with for the very first time at SHOT Show. They have lasers from companies like Steiner, B.E. Myers, Wilcox, Hollow Sun, and more. You guys, again, customnightvision.com. Head on over to the website. Check it all out for yourself. Let them know that Austin from Prepared Mindset sent you guys over. They are going to take absolutely tremendous care of you. So thank you to them for their support. It was it was really cool getting to meet them in person. You got to meet the entire team. You met Trevor, I'm pretty sure, right?
Yeah, we met everyone.
Yeah, at the Lola, everyone was kind of hanging out at the Lowlight booth at different times throughout the day. So we ran into Ben and Kevin. It was after our meeting with EOTech.
Yeah, we were on the shop floor. I forget what we were in front of, but yeah, we just happened to cross paths and
it was like a clay thrower
and an automated target turning stand. Oh, yeah. And
something like, we just happened to, like, we were like we're wandering through, like, let's go this way, and we basically just ran into Ben and Kevin.
Yeah.
Completely unplanned. Had a really good conversation. It was about, 20, 25 minutes just hanging out with them. It felt like maybe a little bit less.
Yeah, something like that.
And then we saw that guy with the crazy facial hair and the pit vipers and the cowboy hat and the Hawaiian shirt, which I don't know about you. Some of the people watching, before we get into the meat and potatoes of this, there were some really creative looking characters there.
Yeah, that is the whole point of Vegas, is to go for people watching. That is the absolutely best part, regardless of your purpose in being there. You can count on good people watching in Vegas.
Some of it was just weird. I mean, like, the one guy looked like he was like 13, 14 years old, dressed up like in a suit with a bolo tie and a Stetson, but then was wearing like some Jordans.
Yep, there was definitely some interesting and unique choices being made by everyone. So it was a lot of fun.
I mean, I didn't really know what to expect. There's a lot of like overweight, balding men in the 2A community that really hang around a certain demographic of firearm.
Yes, there was that too. That I had kind of forgotten about because we don't run the same circles. But obviously at an event like this,
You're going to see
A to Z, you're going to have it all. So there was a lot of interesting characters that we ran across.
Yeah. So we started, so Tuesday morning, we headed to the show. Now, the nice thing, to prevent like a high level of, congestion at the show, right? You can actually get your pass for SHOT Show printed out at the airport, like at the baggage claim. One of the guys that we were hanging out with on the first day there, Monday when we landed, he went and just got his printed.
Yep.
And I was like, wow, okay, well, we'll just wait and we'll go to one of the hotels. We'll pick it up and we won't worry about it right now. We went in the first day, we got a printout, and they go, okay, here it is. Put your name in or scan your QR code if you had your email, right? And by the way, if you lose this, it's like a $200 fee for reprinting. And I was like, holy hell, $200. But then with talking with people and stuff, I think it's a measure they've had to take in years past, because guys were like, oh, they were giving their pass to their friends and going, oh, sorry, I lost it, getting a reprint, and then letting their friend just go wander the show floor. So that's, I think, why they started making it prohibitively expensive to do stuff like that. Or you're basically paying admission a second time over, because I think with some of the retail gun shops, they're paying like $250 a pass anyway.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, so $250 or $350, something like that. But, I mean, so there you go. Like, you want to reprint, you want to do silly stuff, we're not going to go check you person to person to person. Obviously, there's hundreds of thousands of attendees, but you want to do that, $200.
Yeah, so. And it's, I mean, it, to a certain degree, it makes sense, because while it wasn't the highest of quality, they do give you a holder for it.
Well, it's just a lanyard with some clips on it. It's not that everyone goes.
No, but it's still something to have it displayed and to have it around your neck.
They have to have you wear it.
And so. Then once you're in there, there's half a dozen booths giving away lanyard holders too. Yeah,
I'm looking at the one from Geisley right now, which is the one everyone goes and gets. There were, I know Hollow Sun had one, and then a number of places have made their own. Like, they've had leather ones made and stuff that they use year over year. If they want to invest like that, which is cool. If you do, I'm not hating. but We went and got ours. We started walking the show floor immediately. Like, we were there. I was pretty amped. So we were there right at like 8:30, I think.
Yeah, we were pretty close to open, because I think it opened right there at 8:30. Mm-hmm. And we saw, I don't know, 50 people milling about the coffee shop inside the hotel that were all clearly headed the same way.
That was a long 40-minute wait to get some lattes. That's for damn sure.
Those lattes were delicious, though, and I do not regret that.
It was, yeah. Well, the second day, I actually made a friend in line wearing a Ford Observation shirt, and it turns out we ended up running into him later on when we were walking down the Link Promenade, like the alley towards the Caesars Forum. And then I ran into him again later in the day at the Lloyd Innovations booth. So it was like, so shout out to Josh, like, if you're listening to this, buddy. It was really, really nice meeting you, and I promise you, I wasn't stalking you, but you did give me a unit patch, which was really, really cool, and kind of made my day, honestly. but the first day we went in, I think the first place we stopped at, because we didn't really know where to start, I think it was the Blade Tech booth.
I think so.
Checking out they had like a really good setup, a nice horseshoe-shaped counter with a bunch of their Valor holsters. And you know, if you guys haven't been like watching the market, I guess, so to speak, they're kind of the latest entry in the market with like a duty rated level 1, level 2, level 3 lever actuated holster of sorts, right? And it's weapon light agnostic, so it'll work with or without a weapon light. It'll work with the Streamlight, the Surefire. We were there for like a hot minute. I was talking with the guy, I think his name was Jarrett, really, really nice guy on the first day, about a couple of their different systems and the lever locks and the hoods and everything. It's a pretty crisp articulating system. I really, really like it. And we walked down that aisle, and it was United Shield International was the next place we stopped at. That was the one that we saw the Lions, the Detroit Lions painted helmet.
Yep. That's what initially piqued my interest, which, I mean, hey, definitely an eye catcher. It was good. I mean, and obviously you're targeting in on a specific demographic of a fan base. Yeah. So that roped us in pretty quick.
Yeah, ironically, they're based in like Northern Michigan and Traverse City. And then ironically, the sales guy that we talked to was a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. So that's just weird. But had a cool conversation with them. It's always, I think it's always really cool when we're able to find businesses that are based here in Michigan that are doing really cool stuff. And those guys, they make helmets, they make armor. I think they have their own plate carrier he was showing us. I wasn't like a huge fan of the plate carrier. It seems well made.
Yes.
So really well made. The design, I think, left a few things to be desired, in my opinion, which, I mean, what do I know? So, but it was cool talking with them, talking about the shields and the helmets and the armor plates and stuff I think they have made in the UK.
Yeah.
Overseas. And then from there, I don't know. We may have looked at a couple other. I think we ended up at B.E. Myers was the laser.
Yes, I believe you're right.
they had stuff all out, and they were still getting stuff out when we walked by because it was pretty early on. And I finally got to get hands on with the Dagger laser. And this was probably one of my earliest memories of the trip when I told the sales guy that was helping me that I had a buddy that called me like the week previous. And this is true. I did not make this up on the spot. I had a buddy that called me I brought up the Dagger on the phone, and he goes, "Oh yeah, they ripped off the SMS Trinity laser."
The look on that, I don't want to call him a salesman, but the rep.
Yeah.
The look on his face.
Yeah, he thought it was like I had just kicked his cat or something. And I laughed, and I was like, no, dude, like, believe me, I set him straight. I was like, dude, don't say that out loud again. People are going to think you're retarded. Because here's the thing, if you guys don't understand how this works, the LA-30, also known as the B.E. Myers Dagger, the LA-30, I think, is the technical designation, won the SOCOM contract. So I don't know, everyone's been like freaking out over the Sons of Liberty Gunworks Mark One. I think it's Mark One. Their rifle that won the SOCOM contract. The laser that is going with it is the B.E. Myers Dagger. And to say that the laser that won was a knockoff of a Chinese laser is some of the most goofy stuff. No, that's just not how it works. China, who is, you know, basically renowned for their ability to rapidly prototype and steal intellectual property from U.S. companies, that definitely works the other way around. And here's the thing, those trials and stuff and evaluations, right, for those contracts, it takes months.
Oh, they're intensive. That is not, you know, blink and miss it. Like, it's...
Yeah. Now, it doesn't mean that the dagger wasn't... It doesn't mean that the dagger started showing up in public when it was complete. They probably submitted it for trials way before they publicly released it, and that's why somebody who's not paying attention would be like, oh, yeah, they ripped off China.
Yeah.
Like, nah, dude, that's just not how this game works. But that was funny. The look on his face was... it was pretty interesting, but he walked me through... He walked me through all the ergonomics, all the controls, the different ways you can set it up with the Unity Axon. So the 3-button pressure pad for like there were certain features and stuff they wanted to have built into it for the contract. So like white light override, which I don't think was a requirement previously. Adjustable flood, things like that, where there's certain requirements, right? So here's all the different things it can do. Here's how narrow and lightweight it is and stuff. I think I got to hold one that was like just an individual unit, and then I got to play with one that was on the rifle. So that was really cool. What did we do after that? You know, I don't know what we did after that. Might have been the trip to the bathroom, where we ran into Chris and Jonah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, from 100 Concepts. Came out of the bathroom. I was waiting for you, and I think I just walked up on him and realized who the hell it was. So got a big old hug from Jonah. Got to meet Chris. Chris is the media guy at 100 Concepts. Both just tremendous dudes. That was all I saw of them the entire trip. I was like, oh, hopefully we can catch up later and do something. Did not, and that was the theme of the week. Like, I think we ran into a bunch of people throughout both days, and I think we only really saw them the one time. The overwhelming part of this whole deal is that everybody is always running to be somewhere else.
Yes, 100%.
You know, I think we ran into Tommy on day
one. We ran into a lot of people.
Yeah, like literally, well, Tommy, we were at the Huxworks booth, and I was like, oh, I want to go check this out because they had there was some laser or something I wanted to look at on one of their guns. It wasn't because I wanted to see the Huxworks cans, which I probably should. I mean, they make a good suppressor, so I probably should have, but... I want to look at some laser or something, and then I put the rifle on the rack, and I come around the corner, and I basically almost ran into him.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to talk with him for about 15 minutes or so. That was really cool. I'm really going to work on getting him on the podcast, because we were supposed to do that in like November, and then just stuff went down. I think he just had a kid, I think, and then he had something go down with work. They were like chasing somebody or something like that. I don't know. ran into him, Jake from Redline Consulting, then came by us. That was really cool. And then I'm just trying to put this all together. At some point, we had that meeting with EOTech at their booth.
Yeah.
And that was like 10 a.m.
About
the order of events here are kind of fuzzy. I think we had EOTech before we ran into Tommy.
Yeah, honestly, the entire trip just kind of timeline-wise blurs together. I can differentiate day one and day two,
mm-hmm.
some stuff between like morning and afternoon, but beyond that, it all just kind of blurs together. Like I know what we saw and like things we didn't get to see, but trying to actually like piece together a genuine timeline, I think, is going to be close to impossible.
Yeah, 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 because we went to EOTech at 10 o'clock. It was after EOTech is when we ran into Ben and Kevin, too.
Yep.
So, definitely got that all jacked up. I don't even know where we're at in the day. Anyways, yeah, we stopped by EOTech. They had a lot of new stuff.
Yep.
Got to talk with one of their, I think he was an engineer.
That
helped
so.
Explain the 4-12, which if you guys have been paying attention to what EOTech's doing, they have this like micro 3-9 scope, which I don't love personally. The reticle doesn't make a lot of sense. It's second focal plane. the throw on it is pretty good. The glass is pretty good. But the reticle just doesn't make a ton of sense to me. The 4-12, however, is first focal plane. Really, really good glass and a very good reticle in it. So I really liked that thing. Very, very interested in playing with one of those if I can ever get my hands on one. I got to play with the OGLC, which I know I think the market's going to react pretty poorly to that one just because it's taken so long to come out. They had the new enclosed pistol dot, so it's the E-Flex enclosed emitter or something like that, enclosed sight. I think it's the E-Flex ES or something like that. Basically, it's the same pistol dot that they've had. It's a closed emitter now. And then, of course, the new EXPS 3 HD, which we don't, I don't think, we didn't get a ton of time with that one.
No, the crowd around that was pretty solid the whole, not even just the whole time we were there, the whole trip. Every time we walked past it, it was, I mean, people like to see new stuff, so I wasn't really totally shocked, but yeah, it was hard to get in there.
Well, and so that's the weird part, because it's the same stuff. The only thing that it's adding is shake-away functionality, which, like, once you pick up the rifle, it's going to be on anyway.
Right.
A rotary knob for power control versus buttons.
Yep.
And the housing is full aluminum now.
Yes.
Which I think the same sales guy that was talking about the 4 to 12 told me about that.
I believe so. I think you're right.
It's like, okay. So we got to see that very briefly. But yeah, that was one of the hot items that got dropped and teased. And so was the E-Flex. So, well, I think they dropped the E-Flex, or at least they posted about it, like, the day before SHOT.
Yeah, I think I saw that.
And I think that helped drum up a bunch of excitement from people. I could be wrong.
No, probably. If people know what's coming, you know, not, like, a lot of companies, you know, debut new items. You get a lot of interest of, you know, oh, what is it? But if you're someone who's looking for something specific, if you are looking for an aluminum body,
It's supposed to be more durable.
Knowing that it's there, you're obviously going to go make a beeline for them first before you hit any of the other optics companies, if that's something that's important to you.
Well, and the thing is, and this is where it's different from a lot of other things, right, is it's a trade show that runs 4 days.
Yep.
So it's not going anywhere. It's not like they're going to get sold out of them. But we, as I think humans, are pre-programmed to want to get to the new shiny thing first.
Yes.
And EOTech was just conveniently located by one of the main doors on the second level. So the layout is actually very weird. We go, like, down, as you come in the front of the Venetian, you go down the escalator onto the gambling floor, through the floor to, like, the, it's like restaurant row or whatever. Yeah. You walk through that, and you go down another escalator, don't you?
No, you just can.
You keep walking straight, and as you're walking straight, you end up on what is actually, like, you walk past registration and into the main room, you're actually on level 2 of the Venetian
convention
expo space.
Yeah.
So then you have to take an escalator down to get onto level 1. That's what everyone calls the basement, the dungeon. Now, the ballroom space isn't that bad, but, like, when you get into, like, the basement proper on the other side of the lobby, that's really, like, more of a just, like, a basement expo space. Like, we were talking about it. It kind of reminds us of the basement of Cobo Hall, or I guess it's Huntington Center now in Detroit, but it's, like, 4 times the size. We hit that on day 2. That was a massive space.
As much as you heard about how, like, the main centers, because it runs across the Venetian and the Caesars Forum, but hearing how the main hall is, or the main halls are your huge spaces, it was overwhelming and, like, underprepared for how still large the basement is on both accounts.
And in the basement, you have, it's volume, right?
Yes.
You have way more smaller booths. You have some large ones, like Shadow Systems was down there, Otto.
Yeah.
We stopped and talked to the gentleman at Otto. That was one of the larger booths down there. So it's not like the second floor, though, where you have these massive, you can't, the ceiling is, it's like a 20-foot ceiling down there. So while it's still tall enough to do quite a bit, you can't set up the booths like what Leopold had, where you set up a second story with conference rooms, with doors and stairs and glass and TVs and everything. The basement, or level 1, is more restricted as to what you're able to do. But there's a ton. Like, I know we were down there, we stopped and saw the guys at Two Grunts Rifle Works.
Yep.
They're in New Buffalo, Michigan. I don't know what inspired me to go look them up, but I did. And I saw on their booth page on the SHOT Show app that they're from New Buffalo, Michigan. I was like, well, we have to go see them.
Right.
You know what I mean? That was the morning of the second day. We also, on the first day, I went and saw Ahmad and the team over at Lead and Steel. They've been real cool with me over the last couple of years. So now that I was actually able to make it out to SHOT Show, I wanted to make sure I went and talked to them. And I want to talk about that for a second. Like, I remember, like, walking to the front door, or, like, walking to the show on the first day. Like, this is a bucket list thing for me, which guys have been going for 10 plus years, are like, it's just a trade show. But for a lot of people in this industry that want to go, people who are like gun enthusiasts and hobbyists, like, you don't get to go to this. It's just something you get to watch videos and hear about, right? It was a really big deal for me. Like, I was geeking out. And I honestly, for a minute there, it seemed like we might not even be able to go. Like, the week up to this, right? We had three different dog/house sitters fall through in the week prior to, because it was supposed to be one of my brothers was supposed to watch the house and the dogs. And then that turned into he didn't want to do it anymore. Turned into the other brother couldn't do it. Turned into my buddy was going to do it. And then all of a sudden he couldn't. Like, literally within 8 hours. That was the most frustrating one, because we were, like, 3 days out from the weekend. It was, like, Wednesday. And I'm like, yes, we finally found somebody. And then he bailed it, like, not even 8 hours later. And I'm not, like, throwing shade at him, but it was like, why did you say yes? You know what I mean? I could have spent that 8 hours looking for somebody else who potentially could have done it.
Yeah. I mean, we ended up getting it worked out. And then, honestly, it probably was for the best. Yeah. But... yeah, I remember being very stressed out about how we were going to make that happen, because we have dogs. You can't just up and leave.
Yeah, you can't leave.
So it was a very stressful week leading up to this trip.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah, like you said, we got it all taken care of. That it was really weird, right? We dropped him off on Sunday.
Yep.
Came back to the house. No noise. Like, I think you made like Cheddar Bay biscuits. I'm sitting there eating biscuits, watching the Rams beat the Bears, and there's, like, no dog on the couch, like, up in my face trying to steal my food, or, you know, just general tomfoolery that comes with animals, right? So, yeah, it was a very stressful week leading up to that. So when we finally made it out to Vegas, I was like, okay, you can breathe, you know? There's that relief to it, because we're here. You know, we're going to do it, right? And... connected at the airport with Marvin from AMMJ, right? Connected with Cody from Nightfall Optics. Made friends with Dave. Yeah, Dave. From CQT. And hung out with them. Went and met up with Nick Chen from DNT Optics. He took us to some Filipino place for lunch that was...
outstanding. Yeah,
you had that, like, weird brisket grilled cheese.
No, it wasn't weird. It was a brisket grilled cheese. It had, like, a... bacon jam or onion jam. Oh, it was so good.
Yeah, Monday was a cool day. We went, we watched the college football championship game. We met up with Jason Demo from Theorem. We went to the Strat, went up to the top of there. We discovered the depths of my fear of heights. crippling fear, might I add. But at any rate, so I'm trying to think. I know on day one, I finally got to meet Nick from Leopold Optics.
Yep.
So we had an afternoon appointment with him. I've talked to Nick several times. He's been on the podcast a couple different times. He's a PRS shooter. Really, really nice guy. And he, as of I think like a year and a half ago, he took over the electro-optics division of Leopold. So he's working all kinds of good stuff there. So met up with him, said hello, caught up with him a little bit. I'm trying to think what we did. I think we spent most of the latter part of that day after that 2 o'clock meeting on level one. So we went to Lowlight Innovations, got to meet Claude,
yes,
who is the owner, and his whole hilarious crew of dudes out there. So Drew, you can't forget Drew, between the mustache and the shit kickers and the Stetson. And I'm like, he's not, and the weird part, I don't think he's from Texas.
I don't know where he's from. That's not where he's living, but.
Well, so here's the fucked part with those guys. With this winter storm thing, and we'll talk about this too. At the time of this recording, it's Tuesday the 27th right now. This will be dropping on the 28th, Wednesday, right? I talked to him yesterday, Monday the 26th. SHOT Show's been over for 2 days, 2.5 days. Those four dudes, Drew, Claude, and I'm so bad with names. He told me the other two gentlemen that are with them, they're all still stuck in Vegas.
Yeah.
And it's because of the weather and the plane transportation being canceled and stuff and grounded because of the ice on the runways and stuff. So they'll be stuck in Vegas an additional 4 days. I think they were going to fly out on Saturday. So Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. So 3.5 days, something like that. They're stuck in Vegas. They had an Airbnb. I think he said they were staying at the Flamingo because their Airbnb booking ran out.
Yeah, and that was the case. I mean, maybe I don't know who else is all stuck. I'm sure there's other people. But we ran into quite a few people towards the, you know, tail end of our trip that were trying to bump up their flights.
Yeah, I ran into, so when you were getting your body massage, we'll talk about your issues in a minute too, but I was walking the casino floor at the Venetian and I found Mark Smith from JBS Training and introduced myself to him, and he was just on his phone trying to move his flight up. And like you said, a bunch of people were, because this ice storm hit, and it didn't really even hit like I would have expected us here in Michigan to get hit pretty hard, Minnesota and stuff. Apparently the states that got hit the worst were the central states. So,
well,
like,
and it's also the states that are less prepared for it. You know, when we get that kind of stuff here, we expect it. There's only so much you can do for ice and cold, which, mm-hmm. you know, we have both of right now. But, you know, I know Tennessee had a lot of stuff.
Kentucky, Arkansas, the Carolinas.
And the infrastructure just isn't there to deal with it.
I talked to my buddy Brandon and my friend Devin. They're both in the Dallas area. So Devin's from up here. He was telling me, he's like, at work, I went to work, not a big deal, like a half an inch of snow. Nobody's here. Everyone's staying home. And then the grocery store is sold out of everything. Yep. Half the restaurants are all closed. And my buddy Brandon is a SWAT cop down in Dallas. And he's like, we're just not doing stuff right now because there's everything's shut down because of the cold. It's like 17 degrees or something. Or I don't know. It's not that cold. It's definitely worse up here. But because they got some winter weather down there that they're not used to,
mm-hmm.
it derails everything. But lots of people at SHOT Show, like, I was told by the time we got to Friday, it was even deader than normal because of how bad the weather was. People were just moving up flights and bailing out.
Yep.
Trying to get, you know, and because of that, less and less flights were available. Like, we had talked at one point about, hey, maybe we can push our flight on Thursday to 9:30.
Yeah.
And leave. But then with the weather coming in and stuff, I don't even think there were seats available.
Yeah, I don't know. And I mean, to top all that off, I mean, we were delayed coming out and we were delayed leaving.
Well, the one coming back was not weather related, though.
No, it was a plane or staff issue or something.
It was so fucking gay. And that was such a small plane.
Yes.
Like, you guys, if you guys have seen the YouTube channel, and if you haven't, like, pause this and go subscribe, help us out. But if you guys have seen me, like, I'm 6'3", I'm like 250, like, I'm a pretty decent sized human. And, there were two dudes my size sitting in the same row as me. And that's the ironic part to all this is the stuff going on in Vegas at the same time. So you had the World of Concrete convention at the Las Vegas Convention Center. You had the Roofers convention that was at like Mandalay Bay or something.
Yeah.
Don't quote me on that. But then you had SHOT Show going on. And then as we're all rolling out of town, they have the fucking porn awards coming in. The AVNs were coming in. So it's like, you know, just the wildest cast of characters you would ever even just dream of encountering at the airport and walking the strip and everything. So it's, there was not a lot of flexibility in the travel plans and the tickets. I know I had people message me that were up in Buffalo, and he said, I got out on time, but my flight had to circle the runway three times because the drifting of the snow and stuff was covering the runway, and they'd have to clear it and have us come back in, and they did it three times before they were able to land.
Well, even when we landed, it took an extra 20 minutes to genuinely, like, park at the gate or whatever. Like,
be guided in.
They have to be guided in, and they can't see. There's little hash marks and ticks and stuff on the runway, but they can't see that up in the cockpit. So, they had to wait for it to get cleared off so the people on the ground could see it. And, like, it was a whole...
Well, and what's funny is that people actually told us that this year at SHOT Show was warmer than it had been in past years. Like, I guess last year, like, it was, like, in the high 40s or something. This year
it was
in the low 60s.
Solidly 60s, I'd say, if I were to average it, mid-60s.
I thought the weather was fantastic.
But it's also 17 degrees in Michigan now.
That's why I gave Cody, we got back to the Low Light Innovations booth, and I saw Cody walking around in his like full-size North Face puffer coat. And I'm like, what are you doing, dude? You're from Michigan. You're embarrassing us. Like, take that shit off. So, okay, fine. Cause you're like the fourth person to say something. So, all love for Cody. Honestly, you have to give him a hard time. Like, dude, you got to represent. We're out here in the desert, bro. We come from a much colder climate. Let me see. Who else did we run into? We got to meet Walsh and Jason and Dan. So Walsh and Jason are with Thin Line Defense. If you guys haven't checked out their YouTube channel, They do a lot of gear reviews. Jason runs the Everyman Arsenal, which I think it's a podcast or a video podcast. I did that with him once. But they're both under the Thin Line umbrella. Dan Pod, he runs and owns Dynamic Principles, which is a really, really good nylon gear company. He has a pretty cool relationship with Walsh and Thin Line. And we actually ran into him the first time at the Guardian Warrior Solutions booth.
Oh, yeah.
That was the one that gave us a little foam hand grenade and said, hey, if you can throw it in this little box, you win a prize. And we both failed, like, epically at it.
Yeah, I haven't. My baseball skills are a little rusty these days.
Yeah, my baseball skills are non-existent, so that's why I missed. But got to meet Preston and talk about like the bang hanger and some of the really cool stuff that he does. And I noticed that attachment he made for like the Spiritus Mark IV rig that he like got the idea from it when he said he was working with like Bortac and stuff on a couple of things, and it can be used to like stow like blasting cord and stuff for breaching.
Oh yeah,
so that was a really cool add-on. Really nice to like see that stuff, and because I think they're a smaller company, you know, but to be able to bring that kind of stuff out to the public and share it and build excitement and stuff is really cool. Like, I would say Guardian Warrior Solutions is probably one of my favorite. I would say, like, I don't want to say up and coming because that sounds a little bit disrespectful, but like, they make some really interesting stuff, and they do it. It actually solves problems.
Emerging, you know? Might be a better
emerging. Yeah, that's a nice way of saying it. Did we go run into? Yeah, we ran into Joe and Mike on the first day. We went over the other side of the escalators on the second floor. We went to, they're at the Audi Gear booth. So you guys listening, you know Joe. Joe Fasanella has been on this podcast a couple different times. Former NYPD copper, former Fed. Actually, his discussion with me was our top rated episode of 2025. Sadly, at the beginning of the year when we had the terror attack down in New Orleans. And Joe came on and talked about terrorism and anti-terrorism work he's done. But he also runs Gray Fighter Gear. And Mike runs Hyperion Strategies, which is a combination of a training company and a nylon company. Mike makes those, they partner together. Gray Fighter and Hyperion partner to make the BRB carrier. The BRB being the breach and rescue bar from Good Dude Concepts. And they were at the Audi Gear booth. So we got to go talk with them. Joe had like a hilarious story about getting seated next to some belligerently drunk chick.
Which is just a wild concept to me. Like, I understand that people get drunk on planes. Like, it's something that you...
Well, she was drunk before she got on the
but
plane.
But to, like... Cause, and I think it wasn't... I don't... Like, just at any point. Like, I cannot... Do you know how expensive drinks are in the airport? Like...
Yeah. She had been working it. She definitely paid for that. Like, probably more than one way. But just hear Joe talking about it. He's, like, telling the stewardess, like, hey, I'm retired, but you need me to ninja kick this broad like you do. Joe cracks me up. He is a fantastic human being. Him and Mike both. So yeah, we saw them. What else did we? Was that it for day one? I feel like we went back and spent more time at the Lowlight Innovations booth.
Yeah, I mean, as far as any big, did we spend time? I think on day one we spent time at the Trichicon booth.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, we did meet. I think his name was Andrew.
I think so.
Sales guy from Trigicon talked with him. Oh, it's we figured out that we need to find you a green dot version of the Trigicon SRO for your stigmatism.
Yeah, we figured out that it was not, in fact, the optic causing my problems,
it is. Eyes. It's just that a green red dot works better for you, or a red holographic optic.
Yeah.
Which a lot of people say that about holographic dots. So a lot of people, like, flock to EOTech. And the EXPS3.
I mean, I did too. Yeah. I mean, unintentionally, I didn't. You know, I didn't know any better.
And then you wanted it, so you know. That's
but
the
yeah,
of my
no,
life.
No, because it wasn't something I had ever thought about. Like, it wasn't because it's red dot is standard.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So everything I see, and then he gets talking and talks about the green dot, and we noticed that. And I could not believe, because I have astigmatism. I could not believe how like solid the dot was compared to the red dot that's like, for me anyway, is like frayed around the edges is probably the best way bursting. It's not a full sunburst because it's not that bright of a light, a muted starburst.
Well, and you're not the first person that has said that to me about the green stuff. Like, that a lot of people say that, and I think Now there's like the gold dot technology that's supposed to be somewhere in between, but also for red, green, colorblind folks. And that's the thing too, is like you roll it out with like one product and then it gradually works its way through the lineup as demand is there for it. That's right. During that time we stopped by Hollow Sun too.
I believe so.
That, I don't know about you, I was very underwhelmed.
I would agree.
And with Hollow Sun, and I know a lot of people were super pumped about a lot of stuff that Hollow Sun did this year. To me, it just seemed like their entire strategy was like, let's take our top five items and just make them larger.
It was, yeah, and I felt like there was a lot of stuff in general, because I had that similar concept, maybe not making it larger, but just slight deviations. Mm-hmm. I had that about them. I had that about a lot of the actual firearms we saw.
Glock.
Glock.
Yeah.
But it wasn't new and innovative. It was just a step to the left.
Well, and that's the same comment that, okay, so again, jumping backwards here, timeline's all fucked. We ran into Fred, formerly of Spirit of Systems, now he's with Praycor, but we ran into Fred, I talked to him, and that's the same thing he said to me was just, it's the same old shit. It's like a 2% change, and then everyone rolls it out as a new product, you know? I stopped him and said hello to him when we were sitting there talking with Shane and Ty from Terrace Unity Solutions, who are also guys who have been on the podcast. They were on, I don't fucking know, sometime in the last 90 days. They had gotten in town like really late Monday night, so they were just hitting the floor right around 10 or 10:30. The changes, it wasn't... A lot of people were pumped up for Hollow Sun. I think a lot of people always are, because they are like the budget optic.
They're not a bad optic. Nothing we saw was...
No, they're really good optics for the money. And people get upset about it because the two booths that get the most attention right now are Hollow Sun and Palmetto State.
Yep.
Palmetto State, sorry. People get upset about it. Palmetto. It says it in the name, guys. It's Palmetto. And people get... I saw so many angry comments online because people are like, you know... We shouldn't have this in the community. These people are flocking to budget shit firearms and shit optics. And here's the thing. Hollow Sun is successful. They're as successful as they are for a reason. And it's because they have reliable, durable optics now that just other companies are not able to compete with at that price point, or won't compete at that price point, because Hollow Sun isn't chasing U.S. military contracts. They're chasing the U.S. consumer market.
Well, and in case people have forgotten, almost everybody, I won't say everyone, but almost everybody enters into this segment typically in a budget range. Now, everyone's budget is different, right? Your low budget may be different than the next person's, but for the most part, everyone enters at a lower range. So yeah, maybe you don't run it anymore, but you probably did, or something similar once upon a time.
I mean, I'm not hating on having a budget. What I do think people need to hate on appropriately is just going as cheap as you can all the time. And being, instead of buying five handguns with five Hollow Sun dots, maybe buy two handguns with two Trigicon dots, or two EOTechs, or two like low-pole Delta points, you know?
Yes.
Get something that's a little higher quality. Now, that said, though, the Hollow Sun stuff has been very durable.
That is true.
I own a pair of the 509Ts.
Yep.
Those are great optics. And they have not broken. No battery issues, because they fixed the side load battery problem that Trigicon is like, oh, you got to remove the whole unit to get to the battery on the bottom of it. And then one of the questions I asked too is, hey, are you guys moving to Torx head screws as a standard now? Which he confirmed they are, because the one I bought had hex head screws. And when I stripped that thing out trying to change the optic off the slide, I could have cried.
I remember that.
Yeah, because then we had to use an easy out. I had to go to Home Depot, get an easy out, had to remove it. I was all freaking out and everything. And then I ordered aftermarket screws for it. I was like, never again. But at any rate, yeah. The Hollow Sun thing, it just didn't do a lot for me, because it was like, let's just make everything bigger, sometimes comically bigger.
Yeah.
And then they had the one rifle dot, which I don't even think we got an opportunity to play with, because the crowd around it was just... Oh,
that booth was probably by far, if I had to like... talk about the worst booth for crowds, that definitely makes top five, if not number one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there were a lot of people there. And, yeah, they just made all their pistol stuff larger, They had that rifle optic with the laser, and that was kind of it. Like, and here's the thing. Everyone's like, well, they're dominating the market. Well, yeah, you know, go cry about it, whatever. And it's like, okay, well, here's the thing. Those aren't all going to last.
Yeah.
There's a certain point of sustainability that you're going to have with your product catalog. It's why all of these brands that had 30 variations of product are now rolling back. It's why, look at Nylon.
Yeah.
Nylon producers. It's why they went from offering 17 colors down to 12.
Right.
Down to the top 7, down to the top 5. And some places will literally only offer now flat dark earth, green, black, and multicam.
Yep.
Those 4. They don't offer gray. They don't offer navy blue or anything. I might be forgetting one other one maybe or something. But they don't offer anything besides that because they went down to the ones. They're stocking the ones that they sell the most. And that's the nylon space. On the optic side, it's going to be the same thing. That's why you're not going to get, you know, hey, we're going to have an SRO in red, green, gold, and blue dot. And an RMR. And the RMR HD. And the RCR. And it's like, you have to be smart about this. Otherwise, you spend a shitload of money and you got to work real hard to recoup it.
Right.
So I digress. But that's realistic. We also, day one, we stopped by the Wii and Civivi booth.
Oh, yeah.
And that was probably one of my most fun experiences there. Because if any of you guys are, excuse me, into knives and you remember the old knife banter with Ben and Austin originally, and then it was Ben and Kurt. And Ben or Ben and Zach, and then Zach and Kurt. We got to meet Kurt, and we got to talk to Ben.
That was really cool.
That was a really, really. I wish I would ask for a picture with him. I got pictures with other folks, but he was a really, really genuine guy. We have matching. Like I have a Wii banter pocket knife, and you have the baby banter.
Yep.
Which were his designs after he left Blade HQ, and honestly, that one kind of hit close to home for me because it was right around COVID when he left. I remember watching the videos and going like, well, what's Ben going to do? Is he going to pop up at Knife Center or someplace else?
Because right.
I feel like it's a relatively small community.
Sure. You know?
And we were watching a lot of those videos when COVID hit. We were going down the rabbit hole with all the old Blade HQ stuff.
Yep.
And the Taylor Martin Best Damn EDC. Yep. So we had a really, really cool conversation with Ben about all of that stuff, about his wife threatening to hurt him if he kept selling signed knives because then he had to open them all up.
Yeah, our his and hers are signed. It even took him, he had forgotten he even did those. And it was, that was a cool little experience. It's nice. He seems so genuine and down to earth. Like,
yeah.
It honestly, talking to him felt like he's like, you know, I had this other day job and I just dabble in knives on the side rather than that actually being his
gig. Yeah.
So
that, and Kurt was really, really nice too. That like very jovial kind of like really happy and go lucky attitude he has in the videos is exactly how he is in person. Super nice dude.
You can definitely tell it's something that he's passionate about, both of them, right? Mm-hmm. It's a passion of theirs without being like, oh my God, you got to do this. Like, yeah. It's just like, oh yeah, hey, cool. This is what I do. And I'm really happy about it. Like someone
without making it weird.
Yeah. It's just, you can tell they enjoy what they do. Cause some of the people that we talked to just, you know, out and around at some of the other booths that I probably can't even remember. Felt a little salesy.
Oh, well, I mean, like, they're salespeople.
I guess I'll say salesy in the, like, used carsman kind of way. Like,
yeah, used car salesman vibes. Yeah.
Which isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's just that doesn't resonate well with me.
Actually kind of wish it was a little bit more of that. If some of those booths, I couldn't even get people to talk to me.
That's true. Some of them could have used a little bit more pizzazz.
Yeah. Well, I mean, who the fuck am I? Like, people probably don't care. You know what I mean? Like, I couldn't get anybody to talk to me at the Safariland booth, although I was really underwhelmed with the product offerings from Safariland. And I love the 6354. I love the 6300 series. I would have loved to talk to somebody there, but they were all, I don't know what was going on. They had a pretty big booth.
Yeah, no, they did.
We had a pretty nice conversation at Mantis.
That's true. That was a good conversation.
We met the head of marketing there. She was a very nice lady. I'm trying to think. That was definitely a day one, because I think after that we headed back downstairs.
Yep.
And I remember at the end of the day, I wanted to go over to the Caesars Forum and go to the Pharaoh booth, and your feet hurt, so you didn't want to go. So We ended up not, and then I didn't get tickets for the party that night at the Cirque, which I was pretty upset about, because I heard it was a pretty epic party, and it was kind of those, like, SHOT Show things. We hear about it, and you're like, you just assume that every night is a major, huge party, and it is.
Right.
But what they leave off is, like, you actually have to be invited to those parties. They're not just, like, open, and you can't just go freely grab, like, a handful of the tickets and grab them for your friends. They're... Like, you have to be invited.
Yeah.
So, that was, so the start of day two, we went to the Caesars format. That was after I met Josh. I went and got more of those lattes, and I got you your steak and egg and cheese and potato breakfast sandwich,
which
that you
really good.
Which, okay, so I thought that's what you had talked about in line the day previous, and I was like, I'll get up, like, I won't even, like, wait for you to get up, because the first day we went together, and by that time there was a ton of people in line. This time I was the second dude in line. I was like, you know, fuck it. I will just go get coffee and snacks. I will bring them to you, and then you'll be happy. And you're like, this isn't the sandwich I wanted. I was like, motherfucker.
It was really good. It was just something I thought you would enjoy, which I do believe you did. So yeah, it's not like I was wrong.
Steak and eggs is not a bad way to start your morning.
And potatoes? Yeah, no, it was delicious. Yeah. It just, I'm more of a, like, a croissant. I'm more of a soft bread kind of girl. So...
I mean, but we had breakfast. The first morning, we just had those little croquette things.
Which were really good.
But not filling.
No. You didn't want to eat at all. You're like, we got to go. And I was like, if I don't eat,
yeah,
I will be a total baby. Raging bitch.
Yeah. So the first, we ate, and then we went to the Caesars Forum. Actually, did we skip lunch on the second day?
If you've never been to Vegas, this was my dilemma on the first day. I did not realize that the Caesars Forum is not connected to Caesar's Palace.
You come out of the side door to the Flamingo, you go right down the promenade, and you run into the Caesar's Forum. You go left, you hit Las Vegas Boulevard, and you can turn right to go straight down until you hit the front of the Venetian.
Or you could go through the Forum, you know, if there's an event running. There's a bridge over, bridge. Yeah. And it felt like 2 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not nearly as bad as people made it out to be. They're like, oh, it'll take you half an hour. I'm like, the fuck? It did not.
I mean, if you're going out to the out to the Boulevard, maybe... But, yeah, I think we skipped lunch. Because on day one, we had those insane Italian sandwiches, which were... I wish we would have gotten something different.
$80 for lunch. Those are, the stereotypical Vegas meals where you get trapped into paying, like, oh, that looks so good. They cut the whole loaf of bread in half, and here's the pistachio spread, and here's the mortadella, and here's the...
See, the problem is, I think we just got the wrong thing. It still would have been $80, but I think we would have had a very different, like, tune in spending $80 on sandwiches if we genuinely enjoyed them. If you had gotten, like, an Italian sandwich or, like...
Yeah, that La Paradiso, the guy was like, that's my favorite. I'm like, okay. And it definitely was... It tasted like bologna.
It wasn't bad, but it was not either one of our cups of tea.
No.
So...
No. I would have preferred to just get a fucking slice of pizza, but we had pizza for dinner the night before because we had that huge lunch, so we ate late. I was like, well, I don't want to eat pizza again. Actually, I would have been fine. I didn't want to force you to eat pizza again, but it would have been way cheaper.
I just wanted to... It wasn't even that I didn't want to eat pizza again, because I... could live off of pizza, I think, for the rest of my life. It just, what you're in, like, when we go to Vegas personally, right, for vacation, like, we go for food. So I didn't want to just have pizza.
Yeah.
When there's so much other stuff to try, and for the Venetian is not somewhere we usually spend a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, all right, while we're here, like, I wanted to try something, and I don't totally regret it, because I would go back there, I would just get something different.
Yeah.
Really good. The bread was really good.
There was that ramen joint that looked kind of decent in there. Because there's two food courts. There's the food court that's by the expo center. And then there's, like, the hotel food court proper that has, like, actual fast food type shit.
Yeah, it had, like, a Chipotle in there. No, this one over, like, that was right on the... It was in the casino floor, like, right off of the restaurant row.
Yep.
Is what I will call the bougie food court.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all, like...
Yeah, two sandwiches, a bag of chips, and two bottles of water. After tip, $80.
Yeah.
Unfucking believable.
Yeah. I mean, I don't regret it. I'd go back there even. Just, I'd get something that I know I enjoy instead of trying to try something new.
So anyway, the second day we had actual breakfast this time to help hopefully avoid that. We went in, I think we stopped at Swamp Fox, had a really nice conversation about the new version of the Kraken, which is their closed emitter pistol dot. And then their Patriot.
Yep.
Which was a 30, it's a 30 millimeter LPVO. And I'll say this, like, I know a lot of people like to shit on Swamp Fox because of their red dot stuff. And I'm not a huge fan of the red dots, to be honest with you. I haven't tried many of them. I think just the Kraken 1.0, which my biggest bitch about that was just the mounting plate and how it hooked up to your gun. Not exactly anything else about it. Their scopes, they use Japanese glass, and it's very not bad. They're kind of heavy. The Warhorse 2-10 that I have is chunky. It's a 34 millimeter, but that Patriot was really light. Actually had a pretty nice throw to it and a good reticle. So I don't think it's released yet. I'm pretty sure you said it's coming later this year.
This year, yeah.
But that was kind of impressive. That was the first thing. I would say more stuff on the Caesar side impressed me on the second day than on the first day on the Venetian side.
Yeah, it's not important and stuff, but like all your big names are over in the Venetian. That seems to be that's where people want to end up, as on the second floor in the main hall.
It's the most space. But
I would say for the most part, everything in Caesars, it was that nice blend of. They haven't quite made it yet. Like they're not big, because obviously Swamp Fox is still a big name.
No, I mean, like, there's legacy brands like Glock and Smith & Wesson and Ruger and stuff on the firearms side, but you know, I mean, Caesar's still had, like, not up and coming brand. I mean, LWRC is this that rifle booth that we stopped at. They're up and coming, but like they've already been there. They're just not mainstream because.
I think that's kind of the sweet spot where it's like it's a well-known name, maybe not as well-known, right, as some of these legacy companies, but it's still a well-known name with good reputation, with good reviews, with a large quantity of reviews that you can use to sift through.
I personally really liked all the LWRC stuff that I got to play with. I like the new handguard. I like that they actually put the adjustment for the gas block someplace you can reach it.
Ooh, yes. so that was cool.
You don't have to put a tool through your handguard to try and adjust the gas block. But that was another one. I couldn't get a salesperson or just somebody working the booth to come over and talk to me. There was one guy wandering around on his fucking cell phone, and then the other guy was talking to somebody else already. So it was like, okay, cool. It's like 9:30 in the morning. We've been open for an hour here.
Yeah.
You guys are nowhere to be found. So that was a little bit upsetting for the second day of SHOT Show. Like, it's not like we're on Friday morning and those guys are burnt out from partying and everything. So that's, excuse me, that was kind of lame. We went to the Primary Arms booth.
Yep.
And that was the one there. I think it's called the DECA. It's like their 1.5-12 compact scope.
Oh, yeah. You really liked that.
Yes. That thing is... It's super lightweight, fantastic. And I'm not the only one. Lots of people were ranting and raving about how good that thing is. Super lightweight, great glass clarity, and a usable reticle. And the throw on this thing, cranking from 1.5 all the way up to 12, was so buttery smooth. It was ridiculous. And what, like, compared to some of the Vortex stuff I've used, like, I have a Viper 1-6, and I have to fucking fight with that thing to crank it from 1-6. It is the most annoying part of that scope. And I've had that actually happen with quite a few Vortex optics. And I get it, because you don't want to just bump it and have your magnification change and shit. But, like, it should not feel like you're fighting it to adjust your magnification. And that's how those feel. So, and there were several companies like that. I thought Swamp Fox had a nicer throw to it. Definitely the Primary Arms one. Because we stopped and checked out a different scope first.
Yeah.
And the sales guy came over and let us know that the new one
was over, you know, in that other area.
Yeah, and those bolt guns on the wall. And then also the Leopold stuff. Really, really nice glass. I mean, everyone's used to that. Leopold makes fantastic scopes. The one thing I was not impressed with from Primary Arms was their pistol optic.
Yeah, I remember you picking that up and it was just meh.
Well, I don't like the reticle. I think the window size is much smaller than what other competitors on the market have. And it's fucking ugly. It's really fucking ugly.
Yeah, I mean, I know ultimately at the end of the day, the way something looks is probably the least important part, but it is still something that's important, like, to a lot of different people. You know, I don't want to run something ugly. I don't care if that makes me, you know, seem whatever.
Yeah, but I mean, you pay money for it, you want to like it.
Yeah,
I get it. Now, I mean, to an extent, like, guys are like, I won't run a Glock because it's fucking ugly. Like, well, yeah, but Glocks run and don't die. So you can go spend twice the money on an HK, have fun with that, but this is going to get the job done. So I think there's give and take to that, but that thing is just ugly, and you're going to overpay. It's like a $700 pistol bot, and you could literally go get a Hollow Sun for almost half the price. It's going to do the same thing for you.
Right.
Let's see. Oh, we made it over to the Feral Concepts booth.
We did.
We got to meet Will finally.
Yep, there was a lot of cool stuff going on there.
The cummerbund.
Yes.
On that carrier, the FCPC. So they're coming out with they had teased it in a photo on Instagram like 6 or 8 months ago.
Yeah.
And I had a couple of people that were like, at the time, they're like, do you know when this is coming out? And I was like, I think I was talking to, might have been Josh or somebody, and like, hey, are you going to buy another FCPC? Because he had told us, he's like, are they going to come out with a better cummerbund? I was like, I don't fucking know. Message them. So. they had that on the mannequin, so it is coming with their new curve material.
Yep.
So it's going to be a 5-row cummerbund instead of a 3, which some people are going to really want that. I want to upgrade to that because it's going to be better for me mounting some pouches on the side and stuff. It's going to be the tan curve material. It's just a little bit better. The material has less memory to it.
Yeah, so it's not gonna, I think, I don't know if it was a setup thing that they had or if it's going to be like the standard way it comes. They had, I think there was a pocket meant for radios or something, because the way they had it set up.
I think they just had that
add-on. That might have been an add-on, obviously, like, looking at it was something that, like, it looked really nice. It looked really ergonomic.
Yeah. No, and that's one of the things I like about Faro. And they had their new back panel, too. All of it just seems like it's really well thought out. And I didn't realize it. I thought he was just a tester, but Will has actually helped design a lot of that stuff. Or at least had input on it.
Right.
So it was a cool meeting with him. I think when I introduced you, I told you he was a energy drink sommelier that moonlighted in law enforcement. He's actually, I do take a lot of cues from him on his IG stories about like cigar recommendations and energy drinks. And I don't smoke a ton of cigars, but he does. And it's always kind of neat. Like, well, what do you have? I don't follow that. I have no idea where to even begin looking. So, but the energy drinks... on point. I actually had a ghost today. I bought a peach one because I saw it on his stories. I was like, you know what? That does sound good. It's not quite like a peach Snapple because energy drink, not a juice, but right. or a tea, but pretty good stuff. So got to stop and meet him. He was very busy that morning. I wanted to make it back to get more time to chat with him, but just didn't work out. On that side of things, it took us forever. We found the T-Rex Arms booth.
Which took forever to find.
Because
my God.
The stupid shit and fucking SHOT Show app gives you a map, but it doesn't geolocate, and it also doesn't adjust based on your bearing or heading. So, like, think of, like, hey, the map's always going to face north, so as it updates, it'll spin with your facing, so you can try and figure out where you're going. It is the most frustrating fucking thing ever, especially in the smaller rooms where all the booths are similar sizes, and there's not any one huge landmark to look to. That was very difficult to start the second morning. And we get there, and Brandon wasn't even there. I was really looking forward to meeting Brandon post-surgery on his knee. He's been on the podcast a couple times. And just a really nice guy. I know a lot of people like to hate on him because he's not Lucas Botkin and whatever. But nice guy. Didn't get to catch up with him. Hopefully next year or maybe a different event. But after that, we headed... We headed back over the bridge. We only spent a portion of the first morning at the Caesars Forum.
Yeah, we started in Caesars, and I think it maybe took us to about lunchtime or a little thereafter.
Oh, I don't think we were there for that. I think it was like 11 we left there.
Well, I mean, lunchtime.
We did try early to swing by, we did try to catch up with Jake. We did stop by the Harrington Arms booth. He just wasn't there. I want that to be on the record, because I did try to go see him, and I really wanted to see him, but... stopped by the booth. There was, I think the owner was there, but that was it. And then was there something else that we stopped and looked at over there?
In Caesars?
Yeah. I can't remember. It all blurs together.
Technically probably, but.
If it wasn't something super memorable, it kind of just fades into the gray of the trip, you know?
Yeah, because I think shortly... So, because it was around lunchtime, we finished up, and I know we were going back over to the Venetian to connect with the L3.
Oh, that was at the end of the day. That was always the L3 booth. walking back through, we had tried to go back to Leopold to connect with Nick again because he was really busy the first day. That's when we ran into Walsh and yep. Jason and Dan, and they were on their way down to the first floor to go to the Vector Optics booth.
We saw them down there.
Yeah, because we ended up going down there too. I'm trying to think. We did, yeah. So to your point, we did end up meeting up with Jason and some of the guys from GPNVG at the L3 booth. This was something that was like really touted. So L3 had like an announcement put out through SHOT Show via email and then also through the app. Like, hey, I think it was Tuesday at like 10 in the morning or something like that. L3 is going to unveil their new night vision housing, the future of night vision. That, I mean, they probably didn't say that, but I'm saying, you know what I mean? So we got to go there and see it, and it's their new housing, the Nova, mm-hmm. which, like, I'm not affiliated with L3, so, and I apologize to anybody who fanboys for them, but I'm going to fucking say it. That thing is fucking ugly. Like, yeah. It looks like somebody took a Nintendo 64 cartridge and put some binocular tubes, like, on the ends of it, and that's...
Yep. That's pretty
and,
much.
You know, and I understand it's probably set up for future proofing to add things like ATAC and thermal overlay and all this other stuff, but like, man, that thing is ugly.
Yeah, for to be this big, innovative, and for some of the innovations we did see in the night vision space at some of the other booths, it was incredibly underwhelming.
Yeah, I was really. I guess I'll say disappointed when I saw it. I was expecting something very grandiose, and it was not that. Now, I will say also, like, L3 does a whole lot in a lot of different spaces, but that booth was just underwhelming. They had a couple radios out. They had a PEC 15 unit, which the PEC 15's been out for 15-plus years. It's not a new laser by any means. They had the NGAL laser, which I was really excited. I finally got to play with one because I've never touched a real one before. I still haven't washed that hand. Yes. and then we got to see that they had the GPNVGs out on a skull crusher. And then they basically, you had to ask to see the Nova unit because they only had like the one.
Well, and I'll say, like you said, the booth was underwhelming. I think we walked past it the first day and didn't even realize fully that that's what that was.
Yeah, we had to go looking for it because it was just that bland. Now, I will say, I think most of it was a meeting room. I think there was like a wall back there, and there was a meeting room because L3 does a ton of business.
Yes.
Like, now, they did last year make the announcement they were backing out of the commercial industry, and now this year that doesn't quite seem to be what's happening.
I would agree. It brings some mixed messages.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm still trying to piece everything together based off of what I heard from different folks.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know several of our friends that we saw there had met with like Elbit and L3 and all kinds of stuff was flying around. So I don't know. I'm sure more clarity will come in the next few weeks. But in terms of the night vision stuff, the Lloyd Innovations Mars unit, that's their omnidirectional quad housing.
That was really cool.
I thought it was really cool. Also, the Nocturne Industries Chimera is also, that's another quad tube. That's an articulating housing, so they're different. The Chimera was teased, or I guess, I don't want to say released, because it wasn't, like, really released last year, but they had videos on it. It was generally known to the public. This year, they finally had some available. I know, like, Walsh at Thin Line Defense did a video on it. Those are going to be hitting the market.
Yep.
It's not a concept idea. Those are already on the market.
Right.
The Mars unit from Low Light is a concept at this point, or a prototype. There's still things to be changed on that. I'm trying to think what else we saw there. We stopped by the Dottronics booth. Or
that
just
was
Dot.
Cool. Yeah, Dot. No, Dot stands for something, and dynamic something.
I don't know.
I'm sorry if you're listening, guys.
Does it really?
Remember.
I don't know. I didn't know it stood for anything, but they have that EHS-1, their holo site.
Yeah.
And then you really like the laser that they
teased.
The
laser was very ergonomic. I did really like that. Unfortunately, if you are left-handed, you are SOL. But for those who are right-handed.
For right-handed shooters only.
I
even said that to I think he's the owner, and then also one of the salespeople. I was like, so if you're left-handed, it's just like, yeah, I mean, screw you. I was like, yeah, I mean, I agree. I'm right-handed. So yeah, absolutely. Screw you guys that are wrong-handed.
But
I think it's wonderful.
No, that was, that was really cool. I really liked that. As someone who has, you know, baby T-Rex arms, something.
Well, it's very ergonomic, but it's also set up, it can receive a pressure pad.
Yep.
So if you need to put it on a longer gun, you can.
Yes.
Which is smart, honestly.
It's absolutely.
It kind of takes a weird blend between like a mall with like the dial system from like a PEC 15 or a Raid. And then, like, an OTAL from Steiner. It's a very unique-looking unit with a center-bore laser. So I think they said that's coming out around the summer, around $1,300 bucks.
Yeah, no, that was really cool. That was one of the cooler things I remember, like, that stuck out.
Mm-hmm.
Just because some of those fun accessories always feel like they're a little genuinely out of reach for me.
Oh, you mean, like... Physically speaking or financially speaking?
Oh, no, physically.
Oh, yeah. You literally can't reach them.
I literally can't reach them.
You just set up your rifle different, I mean.
Well, no, and obviously you can, but, like, you're trying to balance everything to be in the best spot on the gun, and something like that that's ergonomic where you can, like, you don't have to throw your hand up on top of it. You can kind of, the buttons are there for you to kind of slide into.
Yeah.
For those of us who are... directionally challenged with small arms. It was probably not something they initially thought about, but yeah. I will say it was very nice.
Well, I mean, I'm moving to that stuff too with my own setups, getting away from pressure pads and using like the onboard fire buttons for lasers, because it just removes stuff. You know,
right.
You don't have to pay $100 to Unity to get one of their Axon switches or cables, pressure pads, failure points with plugs and stuff like that. Also got to... And so you made friends with Claude's girlfriend, Isabella.
His fiance.
Fiance now. Yeah, congratulations to them. That was on her Instagram, right?
Yes.
We're not like telling people that shouldn't know, right?
That's it was public. On her Instagram.
Okay, it's public, yeah. Yeah, congratulations
public-ish.
To them. Post-shot show, proposal and everything. Really, really cool. So you were hanging out at that booth. I went and did some rounds. I met John over at ModLight. Got to see the OKW V2. Got to see the new... Noxon handheld light that's called the Anak or something like that. I'm terrible with the fucking names. I apologize. You guys should go check out the ModLight website and see it for yourself. And don't let me sit here and just like ruin it. I went back. No, that was Tuesday, because Wednesday I went back and I saw Colin.
Yeah.
I went to go shake Colin's hand as we were walking around, because the first time he was in a meeting, second time I was able to actually just get him and talk to him just for a minute or two. So that was cool, because Colin has been, I think he's on the customer service team or the customer service lead, or manager, whatever, for ModLight. So he's been on the podcast as well. He's connected with a lot of like former guests. It was really, really cool.
That was really cool.
Yeah. I'm trying to, we stopped by Ops Corps. We stopped by Team Wendy, briefly stopped by Galvion. I cannot get helmet companies to talk to me to save my fucking life.
Yeah.
It was, I tried. Believe me, I tried. And they, I think, the you know what, Thursday morning when I went back, I stopped a second time by Galvion. I took one of the bottle opener keychains, and then one of their sales guys did talk to me, but only because it was like 9, 10 in the morning, and there was nobody else around. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Maybe not only because, I'm just throwing shade because I'm being a salty bitch, but yeah, I could not get people to talk to me. that was when that was also the same place we ran into Elliot Delp. That was on Wednesday, I think, because
yes,
it was after we went back to see Joe and Mike
to
get a
so.
Picture.
That sounds right.
Yep, ran into Elliot again. Been on the podcast. Runs his own YouTube channel. Super nice dude. I'm just trying to think. Like, there's so much to see. Like I know we can sit here and say to our blue in the face that there's so much stuff to see at SHOT Show. We hardly scratched the surface of the first floor of the Venetian.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Because they had like Olight and Osight, which are technically different brands.
Yep.
We found that out. I don't know who told us that.
I don't even know if anyone did. I think they had separate booths.
Well, yeah, but they're different brands, but like they split. They're not like a child company of Olight anymore. Osight is its own deal.
Gotcha.
Because, I mean, having separate booths, that's not that big a deal. But, we talked to Otto. I did not get to talk to Shadow Systems. I think they have an AR coming out that I would have been, interested just to see what with that. Checked out Vector Optics. There was we stopped by the Bull Armory booth. Got to see all the 2011s there. Those things are really cool. It's a lot. And I try explaining it to people. And I'm sure you have too, like, with work and everything.
Yeah.
It's... anything and everything you could possibly dream of being attached to the 2A industry, from laser engraving machines to apparel to ammunition to the components to make ammunition to the parts to make weapons to they had an archery and camping room in the Caesars Forum that was
SHOT is not just SHOT show, but it stands for shooting, hunting, outdoor trade.
Yep.
So anything, while it is primarily I would say 2A oriented, there is a ton of stuff. We didn't even go into the archery.
No, we skipped
section. I'm sure there's more than just that in there.
Well, you also had clothing brands and stuff. You had like Sitka, I think, had a booth. There was, I would have liked to spend more time looking at the 5-Eleven booth just because I like their pants.
Yeah.
You found like a whole outfit you wanted from them.
Yeah,
like
the leggings. Because usually they're, I mean, I know you've made the joke and I'm sure you're not the only one in the community, you know, 5-Eleven guys, like you can tell. I will give them.
Is 5-Eleven.
I will give them some credit in the woman's space because it looked like a hiking outfit.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, it's 5-Eleven. It was to at least some component. I'm sure there was a built-in holster in the leggings, like some little
maybe,
things like that.
Maybe you should reach out to them. Maybe you should let them know how you feel.
Because like, it was
you're doing a great job for women.
Say for as much shit as I think that a lot of people give them, or not them specifically for. A bunch of guys who dress head to toe in their gear.
Yeah, but
the women's stuff was surprisingly
those weird looking dudes we talked about at the beginning of the episode.
Yes,
those are their primary customer base. Like, like I said, I really like their pants, but there's guys that will wear like their short sleeve button down shirts with those pants with the
just out and about
everything and anything they make.
Yeah,
and
which is okay. Which there's nothing wrong with.
Well, and
but
it's weird with any brand if you're going to dress head to toe in Nike. Or Adidas in a tracksuit, you're probably part
Marvin.
Of some, you know, huh?
I said Marvin.
Oh, Marvin had his full-blown Maduro suit going on. He was so proud, too. I saw, like, four people walking around that looked like that. They had that sweatsuit on.
Yeah.
He was so proud. It was amazing. I was happy for him.
Yeah. I'm happy you're happy.
Yeah. But 5-Eleven was cool. We walked into the Cry booth, but we didn't really spend a lot of time looking. Because a lot of stuff they had was plate carriers and everything, which... for being as big a company as they are, I feel like it's still somewhat difficult to get Cry stuff. That might just be me. We didn't go to the Spirit of Systems booth. I wanted to. You run out of time. And honestly, that's why I wanted to go back on Thursday. If we had been able to move our flight and stay there, like we could have checked our luggage.
Right.
Gotten out of the room, stayed till 5 or 5:30, gone back and got our checked luggage, go to the airport,
right.
Eat dinner at the airport and get on the plane. Because we would have been at the airport at 7:30 for a 9:30 flight, which means we'd had 2 hours from the end of the show to go get out, get some food, go to the airport with an Uber or whatever. I will mention, if you guys are going to Vegas and you're looking for someplace good to go eat that is reasonable, we found a place. You found a place.
I found a place, yes.
Called Batista's Hole in the Wall.
Yes.
And we drove by it on the way in with our Uber, or with Marvin.
Because for most of the hotels on the strip, the entrance, right, that circle drive where you know...
Cars can get in.
You go and check into your room, and then you go park your car, right, everything in standard hotel. Most of those are on the backside.
Yeah.
So it was down the street to get to the Flamingo's primary entrance.
Yeah.
Apparently, it's been there since, like, 1970-ish. Yeah,
long-ass time.
They have their menu divided into, I think, 5 sections, starting from $30 up to, like, $50. Mm-hmm. And there's, you know, a dozen items in each category, depending what you want to eat. And it comes with a soup or a salad, comes with garlic bread, comes with house white and red wine, and a cappuccino at the end.
Yeah, plus, obviously, your entree. And it's...
Which was massive.
Yeah, that
absolutely
was
absolutely massive.
That was a really we waited for it. I got to run into Austin Joe Miller and the team from Zenith Firearms because they went there too, and we had dinner with Tyler from Tacos Media. Tyler, you guys listening probably, I don't know, maybe last year sometime or a year and a half ago, Tyler came on and was talking about the relief work he did in North Carolina. Fantastic dude.
Yeah,
we had a really
cool.
good time. But that was a really, it was like $120 for the three of us to eat. In Vegas, that's like unheard of.
And drink.
Yeah.
Well, no, we did not get drink. Additional drinks. Caveat. Yeah. It was just the house wine. But.
Well, I ordered a Pepsi.
Well, but really cocktails are what you usually drive.
But, like, that's still not bad for the amount of food we got. Like, that would have been, like,
no, if you given that we spent $80 at the Venetian on sandwiches.
Yeah. And it was cool. There was a whole wall. I put up in my story. There was a whole wall of, like, law enforcement patches up in there. I found one from Southfield, Michigan.
Yeah, there's it's definitely one of those places you can tell has been there.
Yeah. And is well-liked. My aunt commented on your Facebook post. She was like, that was our favorite place when we were there 40 years ago.
I'm glad to see it's still there. And yep, I mean,
which would have been in like 85 or something.
Yeah, I mean, fantastic Italian food. You had the chicken parm. Tyler had the lasagna. I had a dish called the chicken Rio, which was like a cream mushroom chicken thing. And it was so good.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you guys are going, or if you're just taking notes for future SHOT Show trips, like, that'll be on my list for SHOT next year.
Absolutely.
You know, the only thing that was weird, it wasn't weird. You're like, oh, let's split the tab. And they have a big sign that says, if you split the bill, it's $20 per split. So, like, that takes that really affordable meal. And then all of a sudden, if we would have split ours three ways, that's an additional
$60.
$40, $60, whatever. And it's not so reasonable a meal, you know. So I think we just used Venmo because, you know, it's 2026.
Yeah, like, cool.
We have resources. But yeah, it was really cool. And again, still didn't get to meet up with everyone I wanted to. I ran into Chase from Aurora Tactical when I was coming back into the Flamingo on Thursday morning. Briefly got to chat with him and his wife for about 3-4 minutes. And that was it. You know, tried to connect with him the night before. That didn't end up working out. Just so many people that I wanted to talk to. Brett from Driven Arms Co. didn't get to connect with him. That's just the thing. Like, you could, and I dare say you could probably stay 3 days. So all of Thursday and Thursday night, leave on Friday morning, which I think is what a lot of people did.
Mm-hmm.
And you could still not get to everyone you want to get to. You could not see everything you want to see. Because in addition to all of this, right, we didn't even talk about, because we didn't go, the range day out in the desert that happens on,
I think it's
Sunday or Monday,
yeah,
before the trade show itself starts. They have sponsored range days out in the desert where you can go shoot the new guns and optics and stuff and try the new ammo and suppressors and everything. And there's several new suppressors out there. I know Dead Air has a new one right now. I'm sure Hux Works. Like, it's a really big part of the SHOT Show experience that you can pay for as an add-on. So I elected against going, against my first year. So real, real learning experience. Now, you know, it's time to refocus. It's time to kind of like double down, buckle down. Like, hey, I got to make sure the YouTube channel is right because you have to have a certain number of views. So if you guys are listening to this and you aren't subscribed to the YouTube channel, please go ahead right now, like, shameless ask right here. Go subscribe to the YouTube channel, man, because that stuff ensures that I can keep doing this. I can connect with people like Tommy and other guests, right? Bring them back onto the pod for discussions or get them on the pod for the very first time. People reach out and they're like, hey, why don't you go talk to so-and-so and get them on the pod? I'm like, because they don't know me, and they, you know, getting a hold of them over socials is not easy. If I meet these people in public, like, I can get them on the podcast way easier. We have a conversation, you know, have a face to a name. It's way different.
Sure.
You know? So, what else? Are we missing anything?
I don't know. I think my biggest takeaway from all of this
is planning. Yeah, somebody should plan to use better shoes so I don't have to pay for a full body massage for you so you can walk again.
Yes, if you were listening to this and you were in your 30s and you think you still have it, you don't.
Yeah.
Pack insoles, pack walking shoes, real ones.
And better aspirin.
Better aspirin, maybe some Bengay. I mean, the app is terrible, so if someone from SHOT is listening to this and has any input on that app, please make it better. I don't remember when they drop the vendor list and the floor plan, but
I think it's around September. September is when they start fielding media questions and
stuff.
For
next year, the plan is going to be to plan better, because it took probably in those, like, main halls every bit of 10 or 15 minutes just across from, like, the far end to the far end.
Yeah.
And that's really without stopping, or maybe just, like, window shopping and not stopping to talk to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And now that we have a good concept of how far everything is, it's like, I really want to make sure that we go in with a battle plan, know who we want to talk to, know where it's physically located, and know the effort it's going to take to get there. Because I think we spent a lot of time and energy just walking around when we could have been more purposeful.
Yeah.
Then it would have made a lot of that easier.
More efficient, more effective.
And I'm not saying to schedule every moment of every day, because that's absurd. Mm-hmm. But just to have that concept in mind, so that we can be more efficient. Yeah.
Well, and also it gets a lot easier on Thursday, and yes, definitely on Friday is what I was told too, because there's less like big business meetings going on, and right, more people, like a lot. So there's some people, or I guess a lot of people, that only go for the first 2 days. And they cram everything in. And then if you're a smaller personality, smaller business, smaller influence or whatever, you usually have, this is what I was told after the fact, of course, is that you have better luck on Thursday and definitely on Friday when there's less people there. I was talking to Walsh from Thinline. He's like, Friday, we just walked up and did whatever we wanted. There was just not that many people there. I don't know. I still don't know that I would want to stay for Friday necessarily, but certainly might entertain a later flight on a Friday.
Yeah, I would consider like a 2 o'clock flight if it existed.
Yeah, I mean, so that way you can still go for a couple hours in the morning, be at the airport by noon.
Noon, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I could certainly do something like that. Just depends on, obviously, scheduling.
Sure.
The shitty part is, like, what we're dealing with right now with the winter weather is going to be a consistent issue because it's January.
Yeah, I mean, I think the worst part of Michigan winter is from Martin Luther King Day to President's Day.
Yeah.
That 1 month span, mid-January to mid-February, is the absolute worst. It's when it's frigid. You don't necessarily get as much snow. Not that there isn't snow that happens, mm-hmm, but it's cold.
Yeah, it was like Friday night when we got back. I think the low was like negative 10 or negative 15 or something here.
Yeah,
and then with the wind chill, it was worse.
And this whole week, right, the highs are mid to high teens and the lows are single digits, and that's not including whatever the wind chill is right, doing.
Right.
So
yeah. But yeah, so that's SHOT Show 2026 for Prepared Mindset. Great connections being made. Lots of follow-up to do. I got a stack of business cards up on my desk that I have to send emails out to and try and reconnect. So hopefully the plan is a lot of good content coming again on the Instagram, on the YouTube channel especially, on the Patreon page. So if you guys are looking for ways to get more of this and hear more about SHOT Show or who we talk to, where the relationships are, and is all of that stuff, the Patreon page is great, but obviously, like, the visual side of this project is the YouTube channel. So, and there's a couple really big, I guess, relatively big ideas coming forward. I think you're going to do some stuff with me this year. You're stepping into some things. I have some more ideas. It was a really enlightening experience, the whole show, like, everything. Yeah, not even just from what people told us, but from what we were able to learn on our own, just doing it, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So, but that's it for this week's episode, you guys. Thank you so much for listening and participating with us. If you have comments and questions, you guys can always reach out. I had several of you guys have reached out since SHOT Show, and it was amazing. If you were at SHOT and I missed you, drop that in the comments. Send me a message on Instagram or something. Love to hear from you guys. But that is all. We are back to our regularly scheduled program next week. Until then, you guys stay warm out there. It is fucking cold out. Winter ravages on, and not really an end in sight at the moment, but stay safe, stay warm, and until next week, you guys, like we always say here, work hard, train smarter, and be prepared.